Dry Slopes by Nick Ball. The Lost Boys. It had been an awful day. My mother and Mr. Henley were having another one of their rows.
Yes! 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 Oh, that is terrific! Oh, that is terrific!
Saddam Hussein had waged war on all the world, and to top it all, I'd run out of shampoo. As I settled into my deep bath, my head was a beehive of angst and tension. But the therapeutic effect of the hot water turned it more from a beehive into a summer meadow. Ah, nice. I diluted the modicum of shampoo we had left and poured it onto my head. It was a nice feeling. I hadn't felt this sensation in a long time. I tried it again. Felt good. I filled two more bottles and squirted them at the same time. I was having the time of my life. I hadn't had this much fun since the great water pistol days of Class 4E. I remember how my friends, Slug Adams and Pucker Evans, used to fill heavy buckets with water and drop them on me from a great height. Innocent days. But for some reason, they didn't bother anymore. Why was that? Very possibly Slug and Pucker had thought that I'd moved on in life and given up trying to get in touch. Then it dawned on me. I'd lost touch with all the innocent things in life and become too bogged down with my hurly-burly adult life. But I would soon change all that. It was time to get back to being a kid.
Angus, darling,
Do you mind knocking before you come in?
You don't mind your mother, do you, darling?
I draw the line at you getting in the bath.
Snob.
Oh, hello, Mr. Henley.
Hello.
Gentlemen.
Hello, yes, hello.
Now, darling, I'm just off to Sicily, so you won't forget to take any calls, will you?
No.
If a Mr. Big calls, tell him the missiles are loaded onto a van for Beirut.
Mum, I do have better things to do than pass on messages to your friends.
And then I'm staying on Eric Clapton's yacht, so you'll have to feed yourself again, I'm afraid, pumpkin.
Okay, Mum. Bless her.
Life had not been easy for my poor old Ma. She had brought me up single-handed after becoming spontaneously pregnant. Apparently, this is a rare condition that inflicts only about 1 in 10,000 women. And the only thing she had to support her was a business expansion grant and 3 Italian banks.
Oh, and I found this letter for you in my mailbag.
For me?
You see, you do have friends.
I never said I didn't.
Oh.
Private and confidential, eh? MI5, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought so. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you people to leave the room.
Bye then, darling.
Lay off, Mr. Henley.
No. You mean you don't accept me as a father figure yet?
No, I do not.
Oh, sorry.
And get out of the bath.
Yes.
And you lot.
Yes, sorry.
Yes! What? What?
Dolmon has arrived. 88 Smackaroony.
Oh.
But suddenly, a bout of depression surged through me. Oh, sure, I was on 1.2K per annum, but my life of high finance and power talks at the welfare office had become meaningless. Yup, it was time to get back to being a kid. Using my hard-earned income support, I went out and bought a motorised water laser with authentic machine gun noise. Now that I had the purchasing power of an adult, I could afford what was once beyond my wildest dreams. Armed with my pistol, I called round on Slug. I giggled with anticipation. We were going to have such a scream. The boys were back in town.
Janie, can you get that?
I can't. I'm bleeding, Thomas. Bella, go and let the babysitter in.
Oh, hello. Is Slug in?
Mummy, the babysitter's got a gun.
Can I help you?
Oh, hello.
Hello, Angus.
Slug?
It's me, Jane, from the sixth form.
Oh, what's your Phelps? What are you doing here?
I live here.
Oh.
All right, Angus.
Way! Hiya, Slug, you tosser!
Yeah, careful of the carpet.
You Wendy.
So, do you want to come in then?
Thanks.
You can't stop long. So, can I get you anything? Whiskey and soda? Gin?
You still mixing your drinks? Yeah, go for it.
Which one?
All of them. Stick the whiskey in the gin. Then put some beer in it as well. We can top the bottles up with water afterwards.
Rather you didn't, actually.
What's that noise? Watch out, it's your dad.
Dad died.
Oh, sorry, mate. Have I come at a bad time?
Yes, well, we are about to go out.
What, to the funeral?
No, to a rugby dinner.
Ah, so you've already buried him, then?
What? Dad died over 7 years ago. So, what about you? What are you up to these days?
You know me. Sharking as usual.
No, but have you got a...
Shut up, mate. It's enormous.
What?
It's bigger than yours any day.
No, I mean, do you have a J-O-B?
What? Oh! Ah, keeping my options open, mate. What about you? Still sharking?
No. I gave all that up years ago when I married Janie. Of course, ever since I became area manager,
you know,
I have found...
Married? I can't imagine you with a wife. That is so funny.
Yeah. It is odd, isn't it?
Hey, have you snogged her yet?
Oh, dear. You have met the children, haven't you?
You? With children? That is so weird. I can't imagine you with kids.
Yes, well, let me save you the effort. This is Jane, my wife, and the children, Thomas and Bella.
And as he sat there, proudly, with his beer in one hand and his family in the other, I began to feel terribly sorry for him. Slug had changed. I didn't want to tell him anything at the time, because there was no point in upsetting him, but there was definitely something missing. Oh, sure, he may have had the wife and the kids and the dog and the house and the job and the status and the general feeling of inner contentment. But he didn't have various other things. I mean, he didn't have a sonic-powered water laser for starters.
Look, Bella, look what Angus has bought you.
No, I didn't mean that to be...
What do we say?
Thank you.
And as I wended my way back up the street, I had a private chuckle to myself about what a sad bloke this man had become. I decided I'd call round on Pucker instead. Pucker would never forget what being a lad was all about. Pucker would remember his old mates. Pucker!
I'm sorry?
It's me, Angus.
Who?
Anus.
I beg your pardon?
You used to call me Anus at school.
Did I?
Of course you did, you old scrote.
Oh, dear. I hate it when this happens. Just remind me.
Oh, come on. Surely you remember...
It doesn't ring any big bells.
But we were best mates. We went through school together.
I'm trying, honestly. I can't place you at all.
I see. So you just abandon your old chums, just like Slug.
Slug?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Huh. Some friend you've turned out to be. You two-faced pile of second-hand donkey dung. Then it dawned on me. Pucker didn't live here anymore. Pucker had moved away to America some years ago. This perfectly well-meaning man whom I was hurling abuse at was not Pucker. In fact, if you had asked me to describe the one man in the entire world who looked least like Pucker, it would have been this man. Pucker was always short with golden locks of hair. This man was tall and had a black beard, and Pucker was never West Indian.
You must have the wrong person. I only moved into this country a month ago.
The thing now was to try and cunningly wangle my way out of this potentially embarrassing situation. I know. It was a joke.
I see.
I can see you're going to have to get used to our subtle English wit.
I'll bear that in mind. Anus.
That night, I had a terrible dream. I dreamt that I was at an old boys' do. Everyone was there. Slug Adams, Pucker Evans, even Gordon Spittlehouse. They all looked exactly the same, except they were all 30 foot tall, and for some reason, none of them wanted to talk to me.
So Scott moved in with Helen and bought a chateau on the Côte d'Azur.
Hiya, guys.
Who's head there?
Down here.
Oh, hi. What became of Bud?
Well, apparently he bought a chain of Swiss banks.
You guys, you're just so tall, aren't you?
Are we?
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was tall, but that's nothing compared to everyone else.
Really? And doesn't Jeff own most of Africa now?
I mean, 6'2". That's not small by anyone's standards. But you guys, you really take the biscuit.
Take the what?
Take the biscuit.
Yes, thank you, I will.
This dream had to mean one of two things. Either I was suffering from some kind of inferiority complex where I was worried that my friends had moved on in life and left me behind. Or I had tall friends. I sat back and considered what a glittering success story my life had become and realised that the only plausible conclusion was that my friends must have been tall. But my friends had grown old and weary, and all you could do really was feel sorry for them. Then it dawned on me. I'd been looking in the wrong place. I'd been sniffing through the laundry basket when I should have been looking in the airing cupboard. What I needed was some fresh children. I love kids. When I grow up, I'm going to have loads, and I'm going to be the best dad in the whole world. Hello, little Pietro. Hello, Lucia, and little Paolo.
Look, it's Papa come over the hill towards a idyllic little village, back from his eye-flying job.
Now, Pietro, I bought you this rocking horse.
Oh, thank you, Papa, thank you.
And Lucia, this swimming pool is for you. Don't forget to share it with your brothers and sisters now. And little Paolo, guess what I've got behind my back? Yes! A helicopter!
Oh, Papa! Thank you! We love you!
Yes, yes, yes. Now, where's that beautiful mother of yours?
Hello, darling.
There she is! And with another little one on the way.
Children, wash your hands for supper now.
Okay, Papa.
Hang on, why are you all Italian? But where would I find some children? Particularly at this time of year. I tried the airing cupboard, but with no luck, proving how important it is not to take a metaphor too literally. I checked by the old swings and slides. Nope, no children there. No swings and slides either. Just a housing block. Christ knows when that sprung up. Suddenly I realised where to look. What about the Hendersons? I used to do some babysitting for them. Now, they had one or two kids knocking about the place. I was sure they wouldn't mind if I borrowed one for a swift game of knock door run.
Yeah?
Oh, hi. It's Kristen.
Oh, hi, Angus. Long time no see.
Yeah.
So, what are you up to these days?
Oh, fingers in various pies. And yourself?
Oh, fairly busy.
So you the babysitter, then?
Pardon?
I tell you, you want to be careful of this lot. Take one biscuit and you're out on your lug-hole. And the mother's a real tight-fisted old sow.
Right.
Anyway, it's Kristen.
Chris who?
Chris Henderson.
Oh, you've just been talking to him.
When?
Well, now. He's standing right in front of you.
Is he hiding? Where is he, the little scallywag? Chrissy!
No, Angus, I'm Chris.
You're Chris too? Come on, Chris, help me look for Chrissy. Chrissy!
No, I'm Chrissy. I'm Chris Henderson.
You're Chris Henderson?
Yes!
You're little Chrissy Wissy.
Yes.
Little Chrissy Wissy pumpkin smudgekin.
Yes, all right.
Christ, you've bolted, haven't you?
Sorry?
I mean, how old are you now? You must be, what, 12?
19.
And are you doing your GCEFCGGEs then?
No, I'm on my year out. I'm about to go around Africa with some friends.
Oh, that's nice. And then, what, back to school?
University. I'm doing astrophysics at Oxford.
Right. It's funny, I was going to ask you if you fancied a game of knock door run, but... Do you? But there was one place I still hadn't checked. A place that's brimming with children. Of course! St Winifred's Primary. As I winded my way back to St Wenny's, wended my way back to St. Winnie's, I remembered with fondness the way in which I used to amuse my pals.
Hey, stick Angus's head down a U-bin.
No! Hey, you Angus Troy! Oh, Angus, we hate you! We hate you, Angus Troy! Oh, Angus, we hate you!
But when I arrived, I got the shock of my life. I was full of kids. When we were there, we weren't kids, we were people. I mean, these kids were people too, but I mean, we were just kids. Whereas we were just kids too, but I mean, this was like being at a kindergarten. Well, I was at a kindergarten, but Christ, if I'd known Gordon Spittlehouse was just a kid, I never would have let him stick my head down the U-bend. Nope, kids just weren't children anymore. Then I realised I'd been too busy relying on other people when I should have been relying on myself. What right did I have to rifle through other people's old laundry when I myself had dirty knickers? What I had to do was get back to my own childhood. I cast my mind back. It was as if I was looking at my younger self through the window of time. I had to try and smash that window and climb through, making sure I didn't cut myself on the way, meaning that the experience could be painful, and I didn't want to have to pick up all the broken pieces and piece back together my life. I'm sorry, I think I've gone a bit too far down this path. To get myself out of it. No, what I had to do was get back to being 6 years old all over again. Mine was a very Victorian childhood. Nanny used to come round and take me for walks in the park, and then we'd go round to Mr. Kipling's for tea. And Mrs. Bridges would be down in the parlour baking cakes.
Well, stone me dead if it isn't young Master Dry.
And then Mr. Fezziwinkle would come round and we'd play parlour games and sing carols. And then it would snow and the bells would begin to peal and joy! And then... Oh, excuse me. Hello? No, she's not in. Sorry. Where was I? Oh, yes. And then Charles Dickens would... Whoa, stop. Hang on. I'm awfully sorry. I'm making all this up. In actual fact, my childhood was very tough. I was abandoned in a jungle and brought up by wolves. Mum? Stop. I'm lying again. I sat back and considered what childhood meant to me.
Okay, you can have some of my curly-whirly.
I led a very solitary childhood. I don't know why. I guess I just like the peace and quiet. Oh, hello, Mr. Tibbs. And how are you today? Oh, really? Well, we shall have to clear it up then, shan't we? My best friend was Mr. Tibbs. He was a cross between a bear and a bedwheel. He had a leg growing out of his head and a bedwheel for a foot. My mother used to play with him as a girl, but didn't have time to fix him when she passed him down the matriarchal line. Oh, there you are, Mr. Tibbs. Oh, and you're over there as well. But what was I actually like when I was six? What mattered to me then? What hobbies did I have? What clothes did I wear? What was my name? What was life like when I was six years old? In fact, on reflection, I wasn't really very different from how I was now, except my bed was next to the windowsill, and I didn't have a brown coat. Perhaps I'd not gone back far enough. Perhaps six was too recent. Perhaps I should get back. Yes. Back to the womb! Oh, not another fax. No wonder no one can ever get through to me, what with... No, it's for me. Quick, what does it say? What does it say? Sorry, wrong number. But how could I get back to the womb? And more to the point, would my mother mind? When I asked her, this is the response I got. I'd heard about people spending 9 months in cupboards in order to get that ultimate womb experience. Yes, I mean, when you think of womb, the first word that springs to mind isn't cupboard, is it? I mean, I don't know about your cupboard, but how many wombs have you seen with a pile of old boxes and a broken bicycle inside? Imagine the look of horror on a pregnant mum's face if she saw that when she went in for a scan.
Oh,
What's that round thing with the spokes?
Oh, that's just a bicycle. Ignore it. Maybe it's over there to the left of the screen, buried underneath the boxes.
And what about the birth itself? Whereas you might expect it to sound something like this.
One more push and...
It'd probably sound more like this.
No!
And one more push and...
What's that?
It's just the bicycle. Just ignore it. Push again. There you go, the boxes and... Third time lucky.
Come to think of it, how many cupboards have you seen with... Well, never mind. I decided that the airing cupboard was the closest cupboard we had to a womb. It was warm and comfortable. You could curl up inside it. It had a hot water boiler that made a rather womb-like gurgle. And it was attached with an umbilical cord. My 9-month gestation period had only just begun when...
What are you doing in the airing cupboard without any clothes on?
Oh, hello, Mum.
What are you doing in here?
I'm looking for some socks.
Well, can you come out of here this minute? You're crushing my power dress.
Right.
Now, darling, I've got to go and pick up this wretched OBE, so you won't starve, will you? Now, there's some beans or something in the fridge.
Don't you worry your little head about me.
No. No, I don't, darling. That's the problem. Here, you'd better take this £50 note. That should relieve my guilt.
Mum, I am the main breadwinner now. I know you like to think I still depend on you, but don't you think I'm a bit old for pocket money?
Oh, OK, if you don't want it.
Go on, then. Give it here. If it makes you feel any better. But I was forced to abandon Operation Airing Cupboard after a couple of days. And besides, getting up every so often to nip to the loo or go down for a meal was breaking the rules a bit, let alone the weekend in Wales. No, what I had to do was to create that full womb effect. I mean, what does it actually sound like from a fetus's point of view? Well, I mean, I imagine it sounds something like this. But I mean, you can also hear sounds going on the outside too, can't you? For the typical modern fetus, I expect it sounds more like this. What about a dinner party from the fetal perspective? And afterwards? What about making love? And how about the birth itself?
Come on, push! Push harder!
No, no! I'm not going out there! Sounds horrible! It's nice and cozy in here, I'm staying put!
Come on, yes, yes!
No, no!
Then it dawned on me. This was exactly like having a bath. I mean, the womb was a tub of hot water, the banging and screaming was my mum and Mr. Henley having a row, and the gurgling was me squirting shampoo on my head, but the sensation was basically the same. Of course! All I had to do was have another bath and I'd be home and dry. Well, I wouldn't be dry, obviously, because I'd still be in the bath, but... well, anyway. While I was contently gestating in the bath, it dawned on me that, in a sense, life is like a circle. Meaning that, in a way, you end up where you start. And it has a point at the centre, meaning that there's always a point to everything you do. And you may need a pair of compasses to draw it, meaning that you may need a compass to get around. Oh, dear.
Angus, someone for you.
I'm trying to gestate.
Well, make sure you clean up afterwards. What shall I tell your friend?
Who is it?
I can't tell. He's dressed as a spaceman.
A spaceman? Tell him I'll be down in a minute. Hello?
Hey! Amos!
Yeah, can you be careful of the carpet, please?
Ah, you Wendy!
Who are you?
Oh, I see. So you've forgotten me, have you? Some friend you've turned out to be.
No, I can't see you with your helmet on.
Oh.
Pucker!
You do remember me!
Of course! How could I forget wacky prankster Pucker Evans? And by the looks of things, you haven't changed a bit.
And do you remember our little agreement?
Just run it by me one more time.
When we were 6 years old, we made a vow that we would both become spacemen and move to Mars.
Did we?
We did.
Ah.
You don't mean you've forgotten?
It was a long time ago. We were 6 years old.
Well, so I suppose you didn't bother with the 6 years air navigational training.
You did?
Well, we had an agreement. I stuck to it.
We were just kids. We were fantasizing.
Don't bend the truth.
Parker, we haven't been in touch for years.
Well, I was off training. I thought trust kept us in touch. But I'm beginning to see the harsh reality.
And as I stood there staring at this sad pucker, the man staring back at me was not Pucker Evans. It was Angus Dry. It was almost as if I was... No, I won't say it. Tut, damn it, I'll say it. It was as if I was looking into a mirror. Ugh, wish I hadn't said it now. But it was true. I'd been a fool to think that I could get back to being a kid. Things were different now. I'd moved on in life.
Well, even if you haven't done the training, I'd be prepared to talk you through it. I've got the rocket just outside.
Don't be ridiculous, Pucker. I've got other fish to fry.
Aww.
I saw Pucker off in the most sensible way I knew. I suggest you go home and take a good look at yourself.
Right, sorry for bothering you.
Now scoot! And as I wended my way back up the stairs, it dawned on me that, in a sense, we are all of us children underneath, only living in an adult world. Rather than the playing field, there is the battlefield. Rather than unpopularity, there is unemployment. Rather than Gordon Spittlehouse, there is Saddam Hussein. But I'd moved on in life. Times had changed. I was now an adult and proud of it. There was no going home. I kissed my mother goodnight and went back to my bath. And it was the nicest bath I'd had in over a week. Dry Slopes starred Nick Ball as Angus Dry and Louisa Ricks as Mum, with Julie Gibbs, Robert Harley and Toby Longworth. It was written by Nick Ball and the producer was Gareth Edwards.